Satellite only does satellite dishes. It's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and Internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes Internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Oh, it's Skechers.com.
He still believes the American dream. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And, man, one of the funniest shows on TV, and this thing has just blown up so big, is Abbott Elementary on ABC. The new season is starting. Supersized premiere tonight. And you can watch the full episodes and stream on Hulu. One of the breakout stars of this is William Stanford Davis. I mean, he is unbelievable. He plays a school custodian, Mr. Johnson, hilarious. And he's with us here in the National Defense. William, how are you?
I'm good, man. How about yourself, man?
Doing good, man. I know that you are from St. Louis, and we're based in Kansas City. So you got to be rooting for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of friends in Kansas City. If I said I was rooting for somebody else, I might get a lot of bad mail. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I'm better.
Man, you are so great on Abbott Elementary. And it's so funny how I came to know Abbott Elementary, and it was through my kids. I've got two daughters that when it first came on, they just kept telling me, Dad, you got to watch Abbott Elementary. And I thought, it is just outstanding. And it's funny how things come to you like that. But the audience for Abbott Elementary is, that's all over across the board, right?
Yeah, we say you can watch it from 8 to 80. You know, a grandmother can watch it with her grandkids, and they both have a great time watching it, you know. Yeah. And thank your daughters for me for insisting that you watch our show.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rare these days to find a show that you watch with your kids, but Abbott Elementary is one. We're talking to William Stanford Davis here on the National Defense. Hilarious, Mr. Johnson. Hey, now, what is the school custodian? There's just something about that person. I can remember the school custodian in my elementary school, and then on up in middle school, and they were always hilarious. Was that your experience?
That's exactly what my experience was. They knew everything. They were a bit of an enigma in some ways. Some of them were like Mr. Johnson in terms of being conspiracy theorists, but they were very opinionated. And the other thing that I found out, the other thing I knew, they knew everything about everybody. You know, they knew the kid that smoked in the restroom, or who skipped school that day. And they also knew a lot of the parents, you know, and some of the things that were going on at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best part about the school custodian was you trusted them to keep your secrets, right?
Yeah, you did. You really did. And they did. You know, I know there was a guy, Mr. Glover, from my elementary school. I forget what it was, but I did something I shouldn't have been doing. He saw it, and he never said anything, you know.
Now, William, what does this say about your career? You started your TV career on The Bold and the Beautiful as a custodian, and now you're playing a custodian on Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, that's a full circle moment, isn't it? I've played a lot of roles in between, but I get that question, you started out playing a janitor. I'm telling you, this janitor is really different from those janitors on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking to William Stanford Davis here on the National Defense, and of course the new season of Abbott Elementary on ABC. You can stream it on Hulu. And you were also on another one of my favorite shows, Ray Donovan, and you were Potato Pie. Man, you were great on that.
Thank you so much. That was a lot of fun too. Made a lot of fans from that show. Once again, great writing. That's always going to make it so interesting.
Yeah, we just had John Voight on with us a couple of weeks ago and talked about his experience, on the show. I mean, the cast was just so fantastic. And you were in quite, 20 episodes, something like that?
About 20, maybe. I think 20. I was in the first 5 seasons quite a bit. And then they moved to New York a couple of seasons later, yeah. Yeah, I was just in London and I saw Eddie Marson who played Terry, and we had a bit of a reunion. So yeah, Ray Donovan was a great show to be on.
Terry, very complex and great character. And that's what it's all about, isn't it, William? I mean, you talked about the writing, but, you know, the storylines and then that character development. How much of that do you get to do on Abbott Elementary, or is it just stick to the script?
Well, you know, as an actor, you want to develop the character. You want to bring as much to the character that you can possibly bring. And make him real. Make him a real character. Make him a real human being. And that's what I've always tried to do with any character that I play. But specifically because Mr. Johnson, you know, he gets a lot of laughs, but you have to commit to who he really is. And this man knows everything. He's worked all over the world. He's had a lot of experiences, and he's not afraid to let you know about that. He's not afraid to let you know that he's got these things and what he believes. And I try to really commit to who he is.
Well, and you're one of those guys that I feel is just such a fanatic for getting it right and for going kind of deep into your character. Obviously, you're part of the Actors Studio. And so anything that you do, you probably approach it with that mindset, right?
You have to. You know, you have to understand that this is about real human behavior. And every human being is different, you know.
Yeah.
Even Mr. Johnson, you know, you got to find that reality. And that's the way you should approach the work. You should approach the work as this is a real, living, breathing human being. He just has a different opinion or he approaches things differently.
I love that. Yeah, it's so funny, too. You know, you've done all these great theater moments and different TV shows. And still, I would imagine when you're out somewhere, people are going, Mr. Johnson! Mr. Johnson!
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so cool. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time today. You know, go Chiefs. And continued success on Abbott Elementary, man. It's great.
Okay, Randy, thank you for having me, man, and go Chiefs.
Yes.
And, I love everybody in Kansas City.
What's your favorite barbecue joint in Kansas City?
Oh, wow. I was at Gates.
Oh, yeah.
I was there back in July. And, you know, I still give him a bit of a leg up. But, you know, I'm from St. Louis, man. We do barbecue pretty.
Oh, don't even get me started in that deal.
These are barbecues back there too, man. Yeah. When I'm in Kansas City, I go to Dave.
That's right. You can't go wrong with any of them, man. Thank you so much, William. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
My name is Ariel. I'm a strategic sourcing specialist at the Disneyland Resort. Transitioning out of the military is challenging. It can be one of the hardest things you've ever done. That challenge became the beginning of my journey. The military fellowship program allowed me to find the next chapter. It's the pathway to help veterans transition into the private sector. The Walt Disney Company does a great job of letting veterans know that they have a home here and can help them continue to give back to the community and build long-lasting relationships and create magic.
So you're in the middle of a kitchen update, and you can't tell if that's a faucet stem or a flange. With the Home Depot app, doing doesn't miss a beat. It'll find what you need in a snap, and it'll show you how to find it in store with a tap. Or get it delivered free. For doing that doesn't stop, download the Home Depot app. It's made for doing.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johanneson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and this next segment is going to be a little weird, kind of a little different situation for us, because the guy that I'm going to interview is an international spy. I mean, he really is, and was in Afghanistan, was in Iraq. So we had to take some special considerations. I could not be in the same room with him. I do not know his location. I could not be on the same Zoom call with him. So I'm going to sound like I'm kind of sequestered somewhere, and I'm going to let him tell his stories. But that's how we had to do that. If you're listening and you go, why do Randy sounds like he's in a box? I'm not in a box. I'm in a secluded situation. And we're going to refer to this man only as Pete Turner, because that's his name. That's all I can tell you. Enjoy.
He spent several years as a spy, counterintelligence spy for the U.S. Army, traveling to countries including Afghanistan, Bosnia, Egypt, Germany, Iraq, and he's now using his extensive knowledge and experience in geopolitics, tactical espionage, and U.S. travel to provide compelling evidence outside the typical media landscapes, which brings us to his current project, a nonprofit organization called the International Institute for Nonproliferation Studies, and he joins us here at the National Defense. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, the first thing I did when I started that effort was I took that old name and I said, let's just call this thing the Ground Truth Center, the GTC, because...
There you go. It's a lot easier, a lot better. Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a legacy organization that dealt with nuclear nonproliferation. We thought, yeah, that's kind of old timey. And then it turned out with the world kind of getting crazy, all of a sudden it was sort of relevant. But, you know, where we focus is at the ground truth level, because quite often in the modern conflict space, it's just so hard to accurately nail down the foreign policy stuff that we're trying to do. You know, our priorities and our initiatives are out of whack. And it's not really anybody's fault. You're taking a stab at a big guess at an outcome. And so you're like, we'd like things to be better here. And if you don't have the people that have been shot at have to make the relationships that have to day to day out and make it happen, you don't know what to do. And so, hey, here's Pete. He knows these people. He's done this stuff. And so that's where the Ground Center was born.
I mean, you know, nobody has that kind of experience, and nobody's talking to the same people that you're talking to, that's for sure.
That's right.
But I want to get into some of these topics here. The Taliban actually requested a meeting with you by name.
Yeah. We were my buddy Rich and I were having a lot of success in this valley. So we were in a district, which was like a county. And we were having this way off of the main route. And so we were having a lot of impact in terms of getting farmers to show up and to pay attention to the government, because that's the goal, right, is to make the Afghan government exist and be relevant. And so they got the governor and they said, hey, who are these guys, Pete and Rich? We want to have a meeting with them. And so call them out and have them come meet us at this farmer's house. And so, you know, and this is like what happens. And so the governor's like, hey, Pete and Rich, and this is all normal. We go see the governor all the time. I want you to go down to, we'll say, Bob's house. Bob's house is just a little past the government center, you know, totally normal for us to go out and go meet someone somewhere. And so we go to Bob's house, and there's a bunch of farmers there. And so we don't think anything of it. We're just doing the standard thing and just doing what we always do and have a meeting. And then we go home. And then a couple of days later, the governor calls us back, and he's like, hey, I just want to let you guys know, the other day when we were at Bob's house, just to be clear, Bob is not the guy's name. When we went to Bob's house, Taliban called that meeting. They were in the room. And the good news is they liked you guys. They thought you were respectful and scholarly. And so you guys have the Taliban stamp of approval. And we're like, well, that makes sense. Because we're good dudes.
Wow. Well, okay, but now, so you're a spy.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you have known already that those were Taliban?
You know, we're in Taliban country, right? Mullah Omar lived within a mile of all the main camps in that state that we had all of our stuff at. So these guys, I mean, they all know that. So these guys all look like each other. And so there's no way for me to reliably know that. And they certainly don't wear a patch. Not like if they're driving around.
Right.
Yeah. You might know.
Sure. No.
But we don't know that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that even though I'm a spy and I'm doing my stuff, I never lie about that. And so here's the worst way. Randy, it's not going to surprise you. The worst way to find out where the bombs are is to say, where are the bombs? So I never asked that question.
Right. Yeah. Well, how did you get started in your career in counterintelligence?
You know, I had no intention of joining the military, and I just could not find a job out of college. It was a bad time to find jobs, one of those downturns in the economy in the early 90s. And so one day I was just pushing carts in the rain at Costco, you know, just kind of like, I graduated. What am I going to do? And me and this other dude in the same spot, he had a better degree than I had. And he's like, I think I might go become a spy in the Army. And I'm like, I'd never thought about that. And so I was pushing carts and I'm like, I've got to do something. And so I went from never considering it to being in the Army and then taking counterintelligence as the job in 30 days. And so I'm just like, I've got to do something. It's time to choose. And so I tested really well. I'm a pretty intelligent guy. And my recruiter was great. He didn't lie to me at all. He's like, I've never put anybody in this job. It's got a high number. Must be good. You should do it. And so I said, all right, let's do it. And it worked out. It really suited my skill set, too.
Well, I mean, I think you have to have a certain kind of personality to be successful as a spy, though, right? I mean, you've got to have that mentality. You certainly have to be very smart. But you kind of have that personality to kind of, you know, pivot at any time during any mission, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of truth to that. In particular, in my job, there's probably 140 different disciplines within my job. Like, you might be a guy who runs lie detectors, totally different dude than me. You might be a guy that focuses on electronic counterintelligence. You might be a guy that loves doing surveillance. And I'm trained in some of this stuff. But what I am good at is building networks and meeting people and going to hard places. I'm a physical dude. I'm an athlete. And so when I get with infantry guys, I can hang with them. That's not common in counterintelligence. Most of these guys are – I'm going to be fair. A lot of these guys are soft, right? And they want to plan stuff. They want to do puzzles. I can do puzzles, but if you say, hey, we're all going to get together and we're going to get drunk and get in a big fight and punch each other in the mouth – I'm down for that. And so when I get with an infantry unit, you know, I can hang with those guys, and I'm not afraid. And so that makes me good at tactical collection, because when it's hard, I have a lot of my friends who would never want to go out on the patrols I go out on. Like, oh, is there going to be shooting?
I love that.
Cool, let's go. Yeah. I have done source meetings in the middle of gunfights. That's not normal. So I was able to do that, right? And that's not me bragging. I'm just saying that there's very specific – all of our careers are very siloed. And my – like, there's nobody who's done what I've done at my level, but my peer can say the exact same thing. And so we're all very peaky in our skill sets and how we got this. So my – I figured out what my thing was, and I was able to stay in my area long enough to become, you know, a grandmaster at tactical collection.
That's incredible. We're talking to Pete Turner here in the National Defense, several years as a counterintelligence spy for the Army. And now, Pete, you talked about, you know, building these networks, and I assume you mean networks of the enemy, number one, and as well as allies. And so there had to be points in some of these where somebody's not happy with what Pete's doing, and that had to be a little hairy at times, right?
This is a funny thing. 100% true. And that place normally is with the Americans on the American camps. That is where I'm the most imperiled, honestly, until I
really
learn how to, because I don't belong to a unit usually. So I'll join a unit, or they will join the area where I'm at. And if I don't navigate, and if I until I learned how to work with the staff, and until I learned how to speak commander, and until I learned how to make sure the sergeant major knew who I was and how I could help him, I would get kicked off camps all of the time. I would get denied access to patrols. They wouldn't take me out. So I had to learn how to work within the American system. Otherwise, I couldn't balance that side of the equation. I got kicked off camps. I got kicked out of theater all the time, because I have a lot of bad news. Like, when things aren't working, so I've got two basic jobs from two different perspectives, right? My job is to help the commander win more and lose less, and then help the enemy lose more and win less, right? And so the easiest, fastest deliverable I can give is help the commander realize where he's losing. And in the modern fight, most of the time, it's not killing the enemy. It's like, hey, here's how you stop losing. You're not building governance. No one's calling the police that you're training. How do we improve that capability? How do you stop losing? And people don't like to be told that they suck. And a lot of what I do revolves around that, because the commander's desperate to learn. Like, what do you mean we're doing all this training and no one sees it? No one believes it. And I'm like, I don't know, man. But I'm just telling you, no one around here is ever going to call the cops. You know, like, we work on rule of law all the time, and no one's ever in court, ever. And that matters to a commander.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you. Except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220 for $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Talking to B. Turner in the National Defense, and you know, you have to be in those kind of situations. And when you said that, when you said we're too stupid to know, that has to be the scariest thing for you to get to. You're talking to somebody and they act like they don't know anything. That's when you've got to be fearful, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, you would see a lot of this where we would come in with all of the answers, but never – it's one of the sayings that I developed, and these are people that are highly educated. And that, let me just say this up front. I've made all the mistakes too. You know, we've read all the books. We've got all the degrees. We have the best intentions. But then we can't learn a thing when we get there. And so the saying is this, like, you cannot presume to improve the condition of something you refuse to understand the condition of. Like, we would just come in and we would never go, what is going on here? Like, we come in, we're like, all right, we're going to fix your farming. What? So I asked this ag team. The ag teams are terrible. So you come in, I see this major, and he's like, hey, we're going to improve the plot of the farmer. Okay, great. what is the market chain for these farmers? Well, I don't know. Well, then why are you messing with it? He's like, well, that's my job. Okay. Well, so, and again, doesn't sound like spy work, but now I'm going to go back to the commander. I'm going to be like, the ad team has no idea what the market chain is. And so now the commander goes, hold on, stop. Why are we messing with the market chain? And then the ag boss has to go, who the hell told you we don't know the market chain? And he's going to go, it's Pete. And then
throw him out of here.
Right.
Get him out of here.
And the commander's like, no, Colonel, I'm the boss. You tell me what's the market chain. Well, sir, okay. All right, Pete gets a point. I want Pete back out there.
I can see now why Pete, you know, you're SOE a lot.
That,
I mean, you're talking about
uh-huh.
you know, making somebody look less than intelligent there. Yeah. And
that
a lot
colonel
of those,
tried to kick me out of
the
theater
were,
later on. Yeah. And here's the thing, is my boss got an ass chewing. And they were like, oh, we want Pete to leave theater. That colonel really had it out for me, right? And so my boss was like, okay, I'll put him on the next thing smoking. You show me in this report the one place where Pete is wrong. And the deputy colonel, goes, damn it. And he walked away because I wasn't wrong. I might have been a little bit direct against an OC.
Yeah.
I'm just Pete. But my boss.
You're saving time.
Yeah. But I wasn't wrong.
You're saving time.
Yeah.
And Pete. In all of your years in your role in counterintelligence, tell me the most dangerous situation. I mean, I know you can't talk about the details, but
yeah.
Can you think of one that is just you know maybe you had the cyanide bill ready?
Yeah, you know what? Okay, I will tell you one. And it is. There's a lot of crazy ones, but there's one that comes to mind. And it's actually in a book that's really good. It's a book called Codename Johnny Walker. So there was an Iraqi interpreter that belonged to the SEALs, and because of my relationships that I happen to have with the SEALs, somehow that happened. But Johnny Walker became our interpreter for a while, and so. We had this sort of shadow tasking. Can you help us figure out some things? And so we ended up in this car going north, up into Kurdistan and running some checkpoint, operations, among our other tasks. And at the time, checkpoints were questionable. Were they legit? Were they not legit? Were the legit ones also in their own right illegitimate? And so we got hit by this, checkpoint. It looked like it was probably Iraqi army. And our interpreter is this very famous interpreter who's now an American citizen. And he's like, hey, we have to pull off here. And at the time, these checkpoints, people often end up with their heads cut off. So this is a very tense moment. Mm-hmm. So we pull off the road, and I'm in the passenger seat. Our interpreter is the driver, and then behind me is my partner. And we're fully armed, but no, you know, we're being stealthy. So we're in this car, no body armoring, that kind of stuff. And so I have my weapon off a safe. This is like a submachine gun, like an MP3 kind of weapon. And my partner's behind me, directly behind me, and I'm hoping he's not going to shoot me. So in front of us, as you can imagine, in the front windshield is the Iraqi army people from this camp. Now, the car is running. And for any of you who know this, there's a thing called a dead driver drill. So I know how to operate this vehicle from the passenger seat. So I'm prepared to shoot rounds, and then I'm going to drive this thing from the passenger seat to get out of there. And I hope that we don't kill the interpreter. But if he dies, then that's going to be the cost of us getting out of there alive. So my weapon's off safe. I've pulled the slack in off the trigger. And while our Johnny Walker, our interpreter, while he is talking, and you got to understand, when Iraqis talk, it's very emphatic. You don't know if it's going great or bad. He has a great mouthpiece.
Right.
He's got a great mouthpiece, so I'm trusting that it's working. But we are prepared to kill everybody in front of us and hopefully get past the next part of the checkpoint. Because remember, we're off the road by about 150 yards. And so we didn't know for a good 30 seconds if this was going to go horrible. And again, who knows if we even survived the first engagement. And it all worked out. It all worked out. Johnny's mouthpiece came through. We let off the triggers, took a deep breath. Johnny's up.
Yeah.
And he's like, all is good. Let's go. We have dress.
That's only one story.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many more. Yeah. But that
oh, my
was,
gosh.
That was
wow.
Intense because I'm like, have I made the mistake of my life? I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah. But but that's something
here. And I feel like, just from people we've had on the program, I feel like there's a lot of that over there. Just that unknown, you just don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah. On any given day. And you got to realize that my job, and I'm very open about what I do, I have to trust. I have to rely on trust because I cannot get into gunfights. If I get into a gunfight, I no longer can work in that area. Because now I'm burned forever there, right? I've got to basically leave that area. Probably the theater because, now I'm the butcher of Kirk Cook or whatever, right?
Right.
Because I can't get into that gunfight. And if I get caught, well, it's over. I mean, it's terrible, right? So my job is extremely dangerous and high risk. Because you don't usually run around and get into gunfights if you're a spy. It doesn't work like that in my particular discipline.
Yeah, spies really don't want to be noticed.
Right. Now, I can be open about what I'm doing, but I have to work with trust. Once I violate that trust, once I become this violent person, everything, no one's ever going to trust me again, right? And so my trust has been broken. Right.
Now, how long did you do that for?
Off and on, I was in with and for the military. I was in three times, sworn in, and then I did some work on the contract side, for a number of years. But all in, like, I would say about 18 years with about 70 months in conflict zones, in various roles. But almost always with direct access outside the wire, which is, off of the American camps. So I'm either day-to-day working either off the camp or working directly with the Americans, bouncing back and forth between the two worlds, or working in support of people who were going off the camps every day. So a lot of
– Were you reporting to someone? Did you ever have to report to someone? Okay.
Yeah, but for most of the time, I ran my own operations, right? And so I could, because I was, once I developed my own system, I didn't need to be led. I just needed to be protected.
Sure.
So I would work for the commander. And I had a whole thing I would say to the commander, like, oh, look, you just need to leave me alone. I need access, and then I need your protection. And if you give me those things, other than you correcting me when I'm wrong, because I'm going to tell you what I see, and you're going to have to fine-tune me. You're just going to want more of me, and that's it, not less. And so they were great about that. And I didn't need to be directed in terms of, like, Pete, we need you to go outside.
Right.
Because, again, I'm this dude that needs to be out in the space to work, and you didn't have to tell me to go work.
I mean, that sounds exactly like my experience in morning radio. I don't want to be directed.
Yeah.
Let me do my thing.
Well, honestly,
if I do something wrong, I still don't want to know.
Our jobs do overlap. I mean, my degree, wait for it. My degree, undergrad, it's in TV radio, right?
Is that right?
It's 100% true. And my job, in a lot of ways, is a news reporter. You put me in that Ford Pinto with my remote kit, and I'll be, calling in Pete. Where are you? Oh, I'm at the site of the accident. Or I have my sources in the field. Hey, what's going on? It's totally the same job.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And your sources have to be there. I mean, you've got to develop those sources.
Yeah.
It would be just like a sports reporter at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you get one or two guys to tell you the dirt.
Yeah.
And you rely on those guys every time.
And I cannot reveal my source, right?
Right.
I'll go to jail before I reveal my source, right? Same thing. Same exact thing. It's 100%.
Have you ever had that discussion about we have to know your source and you protect that source?
Yeah, people always try to
speak. Maybe to the nth degree.
Yeah. No, and the thing is, it's always people that don't realize. And so they'll say, well, who's your source? And I'm like, I laugh at them. Or they'll say, wait a second, you gave money to this person? And I'm like, yeah, I gave them money. And I'll say that Johnny guy, right? He came up to me one day. It's 100% true. He came up to me one day and he's like, because it's kind of like the mob, right? So he came up to me when we first had got him and everything. The first thing I did is like, when was the last time you got a raise, Johnny? Because he's working with the SEALs, right? Because the SEALs don't understand how to run human sources. And he's an interpreter, but he also was a source. And so he's like, raise. I'm like, how much are you getting paid? He's like, I'm getting paid $300 a month. And I'm like, and you're working with the SEALs? All right, hold on. Let's go get you a raise right now. So I walk him over to the company that hires these guys. I'm like, hey, I need to double Johnny's pay right now. And they're like, oh, yeah, here, fill this form out. And so we got him a raise. And I'm like, now you make $600 a month. And we're going to get you a raise again as soon as we can. So I just got him a raise. And he's like, holy, why did you do that? And I'm like, because I'm going to work the hell out of you. And what you're doing is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
And I promise we can afford it. And so, and I'm like, do not come to camp unless we communicate with you and I need you. Otherwise, I want you to be safe because it's extremely dangerous to come to this camp. Again, people are getting their heads cut off when they work with us. So he comes to me one day and he's like, oh, Peter, I have to exact revenge. They killed my cousin. And I'm like, cool, what do you need from me? He's like, I need money to buy a gun to kill people. And I'm like, here you go. And I peeled off a couple $100, gave him what he needed, and he went out and he killed people. Because, again, this is war. This is not normal work for San Diego. This is normal
right.
work for
Missouri. Right.
But that is that world, right? And so when you look at your sources and the people he has to go encounter and the things he has to do, I have to enable that because, again, I am a spy. I am not someone who's, you know, this is a different thing. But it is akin to being a news reporter. It's like, hey, you're a junkie. You need to survive. Do you have you eaten?
Right.
Do you need a fix? All right. Well, this is how you live. Here's your money. Just keep the information coming, right? So it is very, very similar. And so when someone's like, how are you getting all this information? That is none of your business. You keep this junky money? Of course I gave them money. They have to eat. They have to survive, you know?
Right.
And so it's the same kind of
thing. They have to trust me.
They've got to trust me. Yeah. Where do you want them to go for this? Do you want them to go rob somebody?
Your brain is an amazing thing. But as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times National Survey of Pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Dan, and I'm a manager of supplier diversity at the Walt Disney Company. I enlisted in the Army when I was 17 years old, did a quick 30 years after that, and got out in 2017. Leaving that after 30 years, it's a scary thing. Figuring out how do I get where I want to be, that was the biggest challenge. I was looking for a company that I felt just as proud to work for that I did while I was in uniform. I remember one day I was driving home, and I said, I'm going to be a cast member at Walt Disney World. A few weeks later, it happened, so it was just a seamless transition, and I knew I'd made the right decision on which company to come to.
Hello, Detroit. It's the Ford Motor Company. This city has changed a lot over the last century, so has America. And we wouldn't have been around for this long if we didn't turn that change into progress. We've pledged to make our most iconic vehicles electric, to provide access to North America's largest public charging network, to use 100% renewable energy across all global manufacturing plants by 2035. And we couldn't have done it without the thousands of Detroiters working with us to turn progress into a reality. We're proud to be built for America. We're even prouder to be built by Detroit. And though we've helped give the Motor City its name, the Motor City has given us our legacy. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Based on original equipment manufacturers, automotive manufacturers that sell all electric vehicles in a publicly announced charging networks. Department of Energy data used. Ford Pass compatible with select smartphone platforms is available via download. Message data rates may apply.
60 Seconds of Service. This 60 Seconds of Service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more about how they support our military community. A Crestline, California teacher and football coach who went the extra mile to build a relationship between students and the community's veterans has been singled out by the local VFW. Michael Wendland was presented with a District 10 Educator of the Year Award by VFW Post 2920. To me, to be honored by the veterans of District 10, there is no better honor because of what these servicemen and women stand for, Wendland said, whose goal was to build a stronger team through community service efforts. Among the projects he and his team were helping to move a local daycare, assisting the VFW in setting up tents for Veterans Appreciation Day, and placing flags on veterans' graves for Memorial Day. For more great veteran stories, just go to NationalDefenseNetwork.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Hear this message. They go, the Taliban have said they've targeted you. They want to kill Pete. And I'm like, yes. That means you're in the game. You're on the field. You are causing them problems, yeah. Right? And so these two things can be simultaneous. I can be a licensed to work, and I can be a target. It means you're on the field. So we have been asked to figure out about education in the region. And this is the Army asking us to do this. And we were doing it. We brought in Afghan elders. We brought in all these people. And we were slowly, methodically working our way through all the meetings required to understand the region and how the government wanted to run their education program. And so long story short, took a long time to do this, but the briefing to us was the Ministry of Education would handle education. They wanted the Americans' help, but under no circumstances would we bring books to the Ministry of Education. This is from the elders, and key point, a religious man was in the room. They're all nodding their heads, and the elders said, you will never bring books to the Ministry of Education. He will come to you to grab these books. That is how this will work. And they're like, also important, you will never, ever, ever deliver books directly to children. That is not your job. That is the Ministry of Education's job. And again, education, religion. Religion is also code for Taliban, right?
Right.
So they gave us a contract, and they said, don't do this. We want your help. We want to educate. And the Ministry of Education is like, I want your help. I want to help to understand how to execute these programs. I want to understand how to measure them if they're working. Fast forward a year later, State Department brings people in from the outside, and they, under a known risk of like, hey, there's an operation going on, and they had put out word that they were going to deliver books to kids. they got themselves blown up, and Anne was one of the people on this mission, and she had happened to meet John Kerry a couple weeks before. So they went off the camp. They let it be known that they're going to deliver books to kids in spite of this report that everybody had. It's not Anne's fault. But the State Department was more interested in a photo op than getting something right. Wow. They ignored this information. They ignored the instructions from the Taliban, from the government, from the elders. They ignored it, and it cost people their lives. That's one of the things that, like, when we go out and get this stuff wrong, that sits with Rich and I. We own that death.
Because you set this up basically under their guidelines, and it was working, right?
It would have worked, And the thing is there are very few people in the world that could have pulled that bit of information off. Right? It was seasoned people to do that. And then they chose to ignore it. They just didn't do it. They said, oh, those dudes are crazy, you know. But we had license from the Taliban to go out and operate. We had license from the Army to go out and operate. And the State Department chose to ignore it. That's the definition of folly, you know, and people died because of it.
Right.
And so when John Kerry gets up and he gives his eulogy of Anne, because he had met her a couple of weeks before, he talks about the arrogance of telling people, you know, about things and how they're supposed to learn. And like, if you read it with that context and know what the State Department had done to build this photo op, you can now read that eulogy and you realize who the real bad person was. And it was the State Department because they chose to ignore the very government they're trying to empower they had undermined.
Pete, man, we could talk to you for hours. I mean, I'd love to have you back on. Just fascinating stories, fascinating career. Where can people find out more about you and what you're doing with your organization?
You can always email me, pete@breakitdownshow.com. If you can go to the groundtruthcenter.org, that's the website, or you can just email me, P.A. Turner on all social media, mostly on X, but you can, you can do that. I'm pretty easy to find. Just type in P.A. Turner and you can find some kind of funnel to me. And I'm glad to talk to people.
It seems weird to me. A spy is pretty easy to find.
Well, that's my job, right? Like, you can't be.
No, I do. I understand that now. Did I happen to see a website with you, featuring you, that said Still Token with Pete Turner?
No, I don't. Maybe I was on somebody's show or something. I'm not a.
Like a Cheech and Chong deal and.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. No, I'm not a Still Token kind of guy, but maybe I was on someone's show with that. I don't know.
I think maybe that was probably it.
Yeah.
Hey man, you're a blast, Pete. Thank you so much for taking the time.
And seriously, thank you for having me on your show too.
Absolutely, love to have you back sometime.
Anytime.
Stay safe,
please.
Tough news about our buddy, great friend of this show, Toby Keith, this week passed away at the age of 62 from stomach cancer. And Toby has been a great friend to me. He's been a great friend to this program. I've talked to Toby at many stations around the country. I've talked to Toby on this show on several occasions. And not only just a good guy and a great man, but also what a heart for our military and for veterans. He's played at many, many military installations, bases. He's been to Walter Reed. The guy just had such a heart for veterans, to the point that when I was working for the national headquarters of the VFW, Toby Keith had a line of mezcal out, and we worked a deal that he did an association with the VFW that would benefit the membership there and all the veterans. So, man, it's just a tough news. Hated to hear that about our good friend Toby Keith. And
this is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman. Brought to you by Asus.
Orange Theory Fitness, using exercise and high tech to help you get into great shape. And one of the key tools they use is called Max HR, or Max Heart Rate. Orange Theory's Amin Kazaruni has more.
What Max Heart Rate is at its core is the maximum beats per minute your heart can work at.
And given that Orange Theory is fundamentally heart rate-based interval training, it's critical that we know the max heart rate of each one of our members. Those heart rate zones are broken down into colors: gray, blue, green, orange, and red. 12 to 20 minutes in the orange and red zone is the ideal amount of time to get the most out of the workout. And for the member, it's just a matter of looking at the colors, understanding that when you're in the orange, you're going pretty hard, and you want to try and get back to the green when you're recovering.
Check it out at orangetheory.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.